Bring a little word to you tonight. The title of this message this evening is His Name is Wonderful. Let's ask God's help as we come to that tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've heard. We thank you for the songs we've been able to sing. We thank you for the musicians that gave of their time and their ability to practice and to come and to warm our hearts and to bless us this evening. Now, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're very welcome just to listen tonight, but if you'd like to take that green sheet that you've been handed out this evening, there are verses on that this evening that you might like to follow. Otherwise, you're just welcome to listen. Maybe the following did or did not happen, but it's a good story, so I'm going to tell you anyway. I read about a woman who was out Christmas shopping with her two children, and after going up and down the long lines of toys, after spending hours for looking for the perfect Christmas gift and the children asking about every single thing that they saw, she was just about to the end of it. She was feeling what so many of us feel around Christmas time, that kind of pressure, that pressure to be at every party, that pressure to be at every event, the pressure to get the perfect gift for every person that she knew and to make sure that she forgot no one on that card list. When the lift doors opened, there was already a crowd inside. Exasperated, she pushed her way in, dragging her two kids behind her and carrying all the shopping luggage. And finally, as the doors closed, she couldn't stand it any longer and she said, "Whoever first thought of this Christmas thing ought to be found, strung up and shot." And then from the back of the lift, a quiet voice came, "Don't worry, they've already crucified him." Oh yeah, the one who began life as that babe in the manger was the one who came to die for us and hang on a cross. Well, Jesus was always controversial. He was controversial in his birth and he was controversial throughout his life. In regard to his birth, the angels announced his birth and sang the celebration. The shepherds came and they wondered in amazement. The wise men worshipped and Mary pondered these things in their heart. But in contrast to those things, Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. So Herod murdered all the male babies around Bethlehem up to 2 years of age at that time. He was controversial in his life. There was always an interaction between Jesus and the Jews. The Jews said to Jesus, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus said back to them, "I told you, and you do not believe." And so there was always this backward and forward. And Jesus Christ was controversial in his death. He was welcome on the Sunday as he rode in to Jerusalem on that donkey. In Matthew 21 and verse 9, we read the people saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And yet by the Friday, they were yelling out, "Crucify him." Yeah, they got rid of the one who started the whole Christmas thing. But of course, the Lord Jesus never intended that we make it what we have made of Christmas. The Bible doesn't even tell us his birthday. 95% of the gift-giving has more to do with commercialism than it does to have to do with Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the Father celebrated his Son's birth, and so we join with the Father and the angels tonight in celebrating the birth of the King. Dear friends, the controversy started at his birth, and the controversy never stopped. Opinions on Christ still divide people today. I wonder what you think of him tonight. To some, Jesus Christ is a point of contention. But to me tonight, he is wonderful. And I would like you to know Jesus Christ as wonderful too. Everything Isaiah said about the Christ, everything that Isaiah said about the Messiah 700 years before he was born were true. And Isaiah told us some things about the Messiah that the historians, the gospel writers, didn't even tell us. Talking on the birth of the Messiah, Isaiah says in chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These names tell us a lot about Jesus. He was the counselor, for he was fully wise. He was everlasting because he exists from eternity to eternity. He was Father in the sense that he would have that kind of relationship with his people. He was mighty, referring to heroic, mighty, heroic to come to earth, to leave the glories of heaven, and mighty to go all the way to a cross. He was God, yes, mighty God, because Jesus Christ was indeed God in the flesh, God amongst us. He was the Prince of Peace, for he will ultimately establish peace on this earth as we prayed at the beginning. And he will bring peace to any heart, to anyone who trusts him. But what we need to focus in on tonight is his name will be called Wonderful. His name will be called Wonderful. We need to know Jesus as Wonderful. Whilst Jesus is wonderful in every way, I want to mention three ways in which he is wonderful tonight. First of all, the first way in which Jesus is wonderful is that he was indeed wonderful in his birth. Consider the word wonderful for a minute. As we think, as we consider about Jesus, we are full of wonder. We are wonderful, full of thoughts, thoughts of amazement and awe, of consideration and inquiry. We hear of his birth, how it happened, and we wonder. The visits of the angels in regard to his birth were wonderful. The angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And the angel told Joseph in the book of Matthew, Joseph, son of David, "Do not be afraid to take to Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And the angel came back later, and he said to Joseph, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So the visits of the angels were wonderful, and the virgin birth itself was extraordinarily wonderful. In Luke chapter 1, we read, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that one who is to be born in you shall be called the Son of God.'" Isaiah, 700 years before, had said exactly this would happen. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we read these words. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." The way that the shepherds heard about the Lord Jesus, the angel, and then the myriad of the host was wonderful. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, Messiah, Lord of all.'" The way that the wise men were led to the Lord Jesus, remember that star that moved, this was also very wonderful. We read in Matthew 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" The way that God protected his son against the ravages of King Herod was wonderful. But most wonderful was all that the Lord of glory came to dwell amongst us. We read about that part in the Gospel of John. And John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you see the myriads of wonders that were associated with the birth of Jesus Christ? Wonderfully, he was born where Micah, who by the way lived at the same time as Isaiah 700 years before, where Micah said he would be born. We read in that prophecy in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. It is wonderful how pagan magi came to recognize the King of Israel, the King of all the earth, and maybe they weren't so pagan after all. It is wonderful how dozens of Old Testament prophecies were filled in this one baby. Audrey Meir wrote, "His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord." And another anonymously wrote, "Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, 'tis recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?" God sent his son in a myriad of wonders because God cared about you and me. Jesus came in this myriad of wonders because he cares about you and me. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world," that means he loves each and every single individual in this room, man and woman, boy and girl. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Of course, this implies that since the son was sent, he existed before he came as a man. This is a wonderful thought to understand, that the Son of God existed through the ages. And he occasionally appeared to men in the Old Testament as the special messenger of God. This is extraordinarily wonderful. God the Son, as the special messenger of God, said to the father of Samson in Judges chapter 13, "Why do you ask my name? Since it is wonderful." God the Son appearing in Old Testament times is a wonder too, isn't it? All these wonders because God loved us. All these wonders surrounding his birth, God sent his son and Jesus came because he cares for us. The Son of God willingly came for you and for me. 2 dozen prisoners, freezing in their tattered clothes, huddled together. Physically they were skin and bones. There wasn't much left of them. Some hadn't seen each other for 7 years because they'd been in solitary confinement. Some were too weak or sick to even stand. But they sang together on the eve before Christmas and they read the Bible account. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." These Vietnamese Christian prisoners could remember that just 3 years before, how the guards had burst into their church as they were praying. The guards had attacked three of them and the rest were thrown in 1 meter by 2 meter cells. But that Christmas Eve, they forgot their fear of torture and even their fear of death. They forgot their wounds and their hunger and their pain. Prayers of thanks were given for the Lord Jesus Christ who came for them, for their families and for their homes, for their country. And they did whatever they could to encourage each other in that cell. Let me ask you a question. How could these men in such miserable conditions, just barely hanging on to life, how could they worship God in such miserable conditions? Well, they could worship God and give thanks because they knew Jesus Christ well. They knew that he cared for them. They knew that the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." No one else cares. No one else cares like Jesus Christ. All the other prophets, the false prophets and those that have come in Christ's name claiming to be a Christ, they didn't care. They couldn't care. Jesus one time explained the difference between himself and the others. In John chapter 10, and verse 13 we read, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by my own." those Vietnamese prisoners knew Jesus Christ well. They knew that he cared for them. There was one time when the disciples thought that Jesus had given up caring for them, but they were wrong. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 38, we read about that. It says, "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." His name is wonderful. His birth is extraordinarily wonderful. Wonder of wonders, he came as that babe because he cares for us. May I ask you this evening, what cares are you carrying? What burdens are on your heart? I tell you, if you know Jesus Christ well, you can sing in the very worst of circumstances, like Vietnamese Christian prisoners. You can sing in the worst of circumstances. Wonder of wonders, he came and he cares. He still cares. He's never stopped caring, as his disciples found out. Do you know him well enough that you can really trust him with everything that comes into your life? Whatever pressures are on you, he wants you to come to him. He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." The second way in which Jesus is wonderful is he was wonderful in life. Yes, he was wonderful in life as Micah and Isaiah and the other prophets predicted, and therefore he was also going to be wonderful in life too. Indeed, his name is wonderful. His attitude was wonderful. We read in Philippians 2 and verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." He had this attitude of humility, humble for sure, for he came into Jerusalem lowly and riding on a donkey. His words were wonderful. We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, "So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth." His wisdom was wonderful. Speaking of the wisdom of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 2 says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And his works were wonderful. In Matthew 21 we read, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant." They saw the wonderful things that he did, but they were not grateful, for they were jealous of the Lord Jesus. They saw all the people going after him. The whole of his life was mysteriously wonderful. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." And that happened first as that little babe in the manger. Isaiah was right about Jesus Christ again, for when Isaiah was a man, he was traveling round in ministry and he came to the synagogue and they gave him the scroll of Isaiah, the prophecy that prophesied about him. He turned to this passage according to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, and he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus went about doing good, for his works were wonderful. He heals the brokenhearted. He proclaims liberty to the prisoners. He grants sight to the blind and he gives relief to the oppressed. Aren't these works wonderful? Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Christ continues his wonderful works even to today. One nativity scene was quite complex. It had more than 200 figures in it. There were, of course, Mary and Joseph and the babe and the shepherds and the wise men. But there were town people looking on. And every one of the figures was either looking toward the manger or looking up above at the angels overhead. But one figure, just one figure in that whole set of 200 figures was different to the rest. It was a man barefoot with a heavy load on his back, and he was bent over His eyes were to the ground as he was carrying this heavy load. And he had been deliberately placed there to send a message to everyone who looked onto that nativity scene. Some are hurting so bad. Some are carrying such a heavy load that they never see Jesus. They never see the Lord Jesus Christ. They never see the Messiah at all. My wife and I spend a lot of time listening to people. And one thing we've learnt, we all may all come with our smiles, but every one of us is hurting about something. We're all dealing with something. Some have been terribly hurt by parents, maybe a father not worthy of the name or a mother. Others have been terrorized by siblings or at school. Still others have been hurt in a relationship that went bad. They're still wounded and they're bleeding. Deep wounds, open wounds, wounds that are infected so they just don't seem to heal. There is not a person here tonight who cannot relate to that. Dear friend, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Jesus Christ heals the brokenhearted. And he does it through a relationship with him. If it can work for Vietnamese prisoners, it can certainly work for us. But first, lift up your eyes from the load that you're carrying and look toward the Lord of glory. The third way in which Jesus is wonderful is he was wonderful in his death. The wonderful attitude that brought him to earth and caused him to live amongst us continued all the way through to the cross. We read in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." That humility took him through the manger, through life with us, and all the way to the cross. Wonderfully, the King of Glory came as a servant to serve you and me. Luke chapter 19 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It was a wonderful love, dear friends. It was a wonderful love that brought Jesus Christ from those realms of glory down here to live amongst us. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or acceptable sacrifice for our sins." The Father sent the Son to be the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. Robert Walmsley wrote, "Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true." Jesus, this Saviour, this gospel to tell, joyfully came with the hopeless and helpless to dwell, sharing our sorrow and shame, seeking the lost, saving, redeeming at measureless cost. Similarly, John Peterson wrote, "There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine." Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. And W. Howe also expressed it, "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come and die to save a one like me." The events surrounding the cross were all wonderful. That darkness for 3 hours, which was not due to any eclipse or clouds over the sun or anything like that. The tearing of the veil from top to the bottom, indicating that we as people now have access into the Holy of Holies through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The earthquake and the resurrection of Old Testament saints so that they appeared in Jerusalem with the people. How extraordinarily wonderful that Jesus had the power to lay down his life and then to be able to take it up again. How wonderful that death could not hold him. How wonderful that he died for me. How wonderful that his death in my place grants me eternal life, eternal salvation. And Jesus destroyed the enemy who had the power of death. You see, I've been saying that Jesus Christ cares about us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. John writes, not John the Apostle, but another John. He writes, I smiled at a lovely 8-year-old girl with her brown eyes and shoulder-length curls. John, she said, Daddy told me that you could help me to trust Jesus. Okay, John said, but tell me, why do you want to trust Jesus, Bria? Because Daddy did, and he's changed. He's good now. It was true, there'd been an amazing transformation in her dad's life, and everyone had noticed. Bria, John explained, we are all sinners, and we all do wrong things. Bria nodded her head. She understood that part. John continued, Jesus Christ died, taking our punishment, and if we will believe that, he will forgive our sin. Then we can let Jesus be the ruler of our lives, okay? She nodded, okay. So John said, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask Jesus to forgive you and to thank him for dying on the cross in your place. John led in prayer, and after a long pause, Bria spoke up, and she said, does Jesus always keep his promises? Always, Bria, always. Well then, he's forgiven me and I am his. I'm going to tell Mummy and Daddy, Bria said. Just a minute, Bria. I want to teach you a little prayer before you tell Mum and Dad. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, help me to love you. I won't forget, she promised, and Bria never did. Life wasn't going to be easy for Bria or for her parents, for within 12 months, she'd suffered a massive stroke. She'd needed neurosurgery. The rehabilitation was very slow, and she never walked again. But one day she told John, I know I can't walk, John, but I can write, and I'm writing to people I hear about to tell them about Jesus, that Jesus loves them, and he will help them to love him. Bria died when she was 14. But not without telling everyone she met of the wonderful love of Jesus Christ to her. Now if a handicapped girl can see the wonders of his love, if Vietnamese prisoners held in rotten cells in solitary confinement can see the wonders of his love, surely we too can see the wonders of his love. Dear friends, whatever pressures you have, Jesus Christ can help you. Whatever wounds are in your heart, Jesus Christ can heal you. But it begins with a relationship with him. If a man, woman, boy or girl will turn from their sin and they will turn in faith to Jesus Christ and believe that he died for them, he will forgive their sin. He will establish a relationship with them. This is how Jesus said it in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Dear friend, do you hear Jesus Christ knocking at the door of your heart? Trust him. Make him the Lord of your life. Give your whole life, your whole heart over to him. Do you hear him knocking? When you do give your life over to him, you'll realize in a very new way, in a very real way, his name is wonderful. Wonderful birth to a manger he came, made in the likeness of man to proclaim God's boundless love for a world sick with sin, pleading with sinners to let him come in. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears. Wonderful blessings his triumphs afford. Wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me. Wonderful love of my wonderful Lord. Yes, because his name is wonderful. Someone's written, in Christ we have a love that can never be fathomed. We have a life that can never die. A peace that cannot be understood. A rest that can never be disturbed. A joy that can never be diminished, a hope that cannot be taken away, a glory that cannot be clouded, a light that can never be darkened. and a spiritual resource that can never be exhausted. Dear friend, don't you need him? Don't you need him for forgiveness and for help and for healing? He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the extraordinary nature of Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. His birth is wonderful. His life is wonderful. His death is wonderful. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that he died for us. I'm wondering, dear Heavenly Father, if you've spoken to anyone here tonight, if anyone needs to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that you'd be working and drawing them to yourself, Lord. I pray that they would say, "Yes, I hear him knocking. Yes, I want to open my life to him. Yes, I'm willing to let him come in and be Lord of my life." I wonder if there's anyone like that here tonight. I'd like to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand where you are so I can pray? Yes, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior tonight. Boys or girls, men or women, yes, I want to know Jesus. I want to open the door to him. I want to let him into my life. Anyone this evening? Father, thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the wonderful person that you are. Thank you that so many of the folk here tonight have a relationship with you. We bless you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.